It's the first Monday of the month, and that means it's time for another edition of Mondays with Mike. Mike Crane, the director of Wisconsin Public Radio, is here to talk about whatever you want to talk about when it comes to Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. WPR's Mike Crane joins us once a month, usually the first Monday of each month, to talk about what's new at WPR, to answer your questions, to respond to your feedback and your praise or otherwise. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. The director of Wisconsin Public Radio, Mike Crane, joins us in our Madison studios. Welcome back, Mike.
It's always good to be here.
It's good to have you here. Do you have your armor on?
Yeah, sure. It's not very thick, though.
And
I really do enjoy being here with you, Joy, and having a chance to talk to listeners. I understand that we don't always do everything right in someone's eyes, and while we certainly try, we can always get better. And so it's a pleasure to be here and hear from people about their concerns. And yes, of course, the praise is really good. It makes not only me feel good, but as you know, many of our staffers listen very avidly, either live if they happen to have the radio on, or they'll go back and listen because they're very curious about the feedback that people have for us.
That's right.
And
that's right.
As you know, too, we share our listener logs, which are the reports of all of the calls that Audience Services gets and emails as well. And that is probably one of the most opened emails at WPR because people do care what you think.
It sure is. Well, let's talk about what you were up to just yesterday.
Oh, what a pleasure I had. I had a trip to New London, Wisconsin, and was joined by my counterpart in public television and some staff and volunteers as well. And our board member, Mary Peterson, was with us and so on. And we were attending an event that was held in honor of and also, was catalyzed by Stanley Cottrell. Stanley is a very humble man. He had a plumbing business, and he's 90 now, and took the opportunity, which I think he kind of worked out with his friends and associates, to fulfill the terms of his will before he passed away. He plans to be around for a while yet, but he gave away yesterday nearly $2.5 million.
Wow.
At a ceremony. And so imagine a church filled with people who have been friends or have been touched by Stan over the course of his life. And it was just a real celebration of him. And WPR received a check for $50,000. Really just remarkable. And an honor to be part of the celebration and to get to know a little bit about Stan.
That's wonderful. Thank you, Mr. Cottrell. $50,000. What is Wisconsin Public Radio going to do with $50,000, Mike?
Well, that sure helps pay for programs. And he just loves WPR, listens so much. And what we did, we were given no more than 30 seconds to make our little speeches. And so what I did is I brought along a recording that a bunch of people here at WPR made that basically just thank you, literally you, Stanley Cottrell. And when he heard the different voices, he smiled.
Aww.
And so that was just what a pleasure and great to meet him and so many people that care for him and have been influenced by him in so many ways. There were Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts and one of the motorcycle groups of veterans that was there, and groups that had affected the New London community in various ways, and people from church and so on. And just very gratifying to be a part of that and to see the effect that just a humble life with good investments and taking care of money and his community. That was really neat.
Talk a little bit about legacy gifts and this planned giving. How important is this to the future finances of Wisconsin Public Radio?
Well, it's of growing importance because, you know, over the long period of time, the funding mix has changed so that, you know, you'll hear us talk about how Almost 40% of our support comes from listeners. There was a time when that was zero, 1978 to be exact, mm-hmm. when we didn't get listener support in that way. And so as that's changed, the opportunity to receive a large gift like Stanley has given, or a legacy gift, something that's put in someone's will or one of those charitable remainder trusts, those kinds of things, is really making a difference. And in fact, we had news just the other day of a legacy gift of $145,000 that we'll receive the check for in just a few days. And what happens with that is that a bequest like that is deposited in a board-designated endowment. And then over a period of time, the income from that endowment helps to fund everyday programming on WPR.
That's great. And I was one of the many voices that said thank you to Mr. Stanley Cottrell on that recording that you played. My voice sounded a whole lot better then, though.
Yeah, you know, for just a second, I was sitting in the lobby waiting to come in, and I was like,
who's that?
Wait, who's on? Did Joy need a sub?
Yeah.
And then I realized it was you, but improved from what you suggested
right,
the other day.
I had no voice at all for the most part on Saturday. Just all of a sudden, out of the blue, a nice case of laryngitis, and now it's a sore throat, head cold. So I apologize to our listeners for this scratchy voice. I don't really hurt. I just sound like I do. So, but let's speaking of money. We haven't talked to you since we had our May pledge drive. How did that go?
It was really good. We made 97% of our dollar goal, and we received more new members and more sustainers than in the previous May as well. And that was due to a strategy change. And I think I've said here before that we're always looking for the best strategies for raising money efficiently and taking no more time than is needed. But we did make a change this May. We had several years in a row done a one-day Wednesday drive in May, and we decided to let that go in this case because one of the things that has tended to happen is when you do a one-day Wednesday, you get a lot of renewal memberships because of people already into it, you know, that they already love WPR and are used to making a pledge. But it's harder to get new members to pledge so quickly, and we've also been working on that sustainer message for quite a while now, too. And so the thought was that if we had a brief but longer than a day pledge drive, so 4 or 5 days, that we'd have more success in those other areas, and that's exactly what happened. So we were really pleased to see that result, but we still kept the pledge drive nice and short and heard all those wonderful comments that you get during pledge drives, the word love about WPR is used so often. It's just very gratifying for everyone here.
It really is. It makes us feel good all over. We looked up the tally here. It says that 348,000 plus was raised in the last drive. More than 2,600 listeners pledged, including 700 sustaining pledges. And we welcomed 565 new members to Wisconsin Public Radio. It says that we now have over 14,700 sustaining members. Remind us what the sustainer is.
So the sustainers are people who are making an ongoing monthly pledge, and that really makes a difference in in fact, we were talking about the long-term prospect of that in the budget, and what it means is that you have a more reliable base budget when you know that you can count on all of the people who are sustainers. Now, don't get me wrong, there are many people who are really loyal donors who give every year, and that's awesome. Sustainers is really meant to be a term that points directly at this idea of monthly giving from a bank account or a checking or a credit card account. And we thank everybody, and the one-time givers, that also makes a huge difference. And can you tell I want to thank everybody? Because
yeah.
It's just really it's great to hear from people.
And I want to join in that thanks. And we have full lines, Mike, so why don't we start taking some calls? Kathy in Ashland is with us. Hello, Kathy.
Good morning. I listen to public radio every day, and I realize you can't make everyone happy, but I still haven't adjusted to the weekend changes. And I don't see any reason why On Your Money has to be repeated on the weekend. I understand it's on Tuesday and again on Tuesday evening. I miss Garrison Keillor on Sunday. I think Michael Feldman is repeated, but only half a show. And I still haven't figured out the game shows. It used to just, everything fell into place so well. And I don't think Click and Clack needs to move on too. So that's just my opinion. I'm sure there's many that disagree with me.
Well, thanks for the comments, Kathy. So when you mean you haven't figured out the game shows, you mean you haven't figured out where they are in the schedule now, or what do you mean by that?
Right, yeah. Right. But anyway, I realize that there's as many people or more that don't agree with me, but I just have been wanting at least to get this off my chest for a while.
And Kathy, I'm not hurt in any way that you don't want On Your Money repeated on Sundays. I'm just curious, though, because there is sort of a debate over whether you repeat shows or not. Some say it gives another opportunity to those who didn't hear it the first time. Like Garden Talk, Larry Mueller's Garden Talk on Friday is repeated on Saturday mornings. Does that bother you?
Well, actually, no, but probably because I have a more interest in that subject than I do on Your Money.
Yeah.
Occasionally during the week, I might hear something that that is helpful, but when I hear it come on again on Sunday morning, I just get this kind of down feeling, and I just go do something else or turn it off. But then, you know, that's me. But I do love public radio, and like I say, it's on every day of the week. I probably should be doing more things than listening to this.
No, you shouldn't, Kathy. You must listen to us 24/7. I'm just teasing. So, Mike, what about the whole repeat thing?
Thank you, Kathy, for all your thoughts and acknowledging the challenge that we face there. I'd actually broaden it a little bit more too, Joy, and just say that the challenge of the Ideas Network generally is, if you're not interested in the topic that's coming up this hour, in many cases, you're just gone for the hour. And, of course, mm-hmm. we do want you listening 24/7 if you're not sleeping anyway. And so we try to figure those things out. As far as the repeats, the sense is that some shows are just so popular that you should have them on again, and people request them all the time. In the case of Kevin McKinley's show, it actually started way back when on Sunday mornings. Mm-hmm. And so I think part of our thinking was it had done pretty well there. Let's try it out again. And there were other things that Kathy mentioned. Car Talk, Time to Move On. You know, it's funny. We did move the schedule. So Car Talk is on later now than it used to be. But it still does really well. And I know it's a puzzle for some because they've never enjoyed it, or they used to and they're tired of it. I'm thinking of a conversation I had with a donor the other day about how they really missed a program. And I said that the worry we always have when a show moves on is that the new show isn't going to attract as strong an audience. So we're always trying to balance all these things, and thanks, Kathy, for understanding, but also letting us know what you think.
Thanks very much. And by the way, guess what tomorrow we'll be talking about between 8 and 9? It'll be On Your Money. Kevin McKinley joins us every Tuesday for information and advice on your money. And I might add that Kevin does do a wonderful job during every day when he's on the air, but he also, during pledge drives, it's just phenomenal how many people will pledge during that program. And we will get, I swear, Mike, quadruple the number of pledges in a typical hour,
right,
because people do value his advice. And often he has just a little pamphlet to give away, but people do value that program.
Yeah. Yeah, there are very few guests who create that much positive buzz during our pledge drive, but Kevin is certainly one of them.
This is the June edition of Mondays with Mike. I'm Joy Cardine, welcoming your question or your feedback for Mike at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
Thank you.
It is the first Monday of the month, which means it's time for another edition of Mondays with Mike. Wisconsin Public Radio's director, Mike Crane, is here to share the latest on Wisconsin Public Radio programming and operations, and we welcome your questions and your feedback about Wisconsin Public Radio at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Here is a comment from our listener log, one of many comments to this effect in the past month, Mike. The listener writes, I was very disappointed to learn that WPR has decided to end Live at the Chazen, a decision which apparently was taken without meaningful input either from the museum or from listeners. Live at the Chazen is enjoyed by thousands of people, and the venue is a very nice one for listening to concerts. Goes on to say, I hope this decision is reversible. It is difficult to believe that a substitute program involving recording of music from around the state would be less expensive than this program. So tell us, listeners who aren't aware, what happened? Why was the program Live at the Chazen canceled?
Sure. So we announced this about a month ago at live at the Chazen broadcast. And so I was there ahead of the broadcast, and Lori announced it on the air at the end of the broadcast. And what's happened basically is just as happens with all nonprofits and media companies, we've been wrestling with resource constraints. So you can read that to be money, people, and time, and trying to figure out how to make sure that we are able to do as many good things as we can do within those constraints. And, you know, one of the things that I think hasn't really been very well known about the Chazen series is that while it's from the Chazen, and they have been just incredibly gracious hosts, it was actually a presentation of WPR, meaning that we booked the artists and paid them and dealt with all of that, and did all of the planning for the broadcast as well as doing the live broadcast. And we just don't have quite enough in our budget to do everything we'd like to do. In fact, one of the things we talk about every year at budget time is how our ambition for service and the ambition that listeners have for us far outstrips any capability we have to do that. You know, I've probably even said here about how in terms of the kinds of programs that people would like to hear, we could program several more radio stations mm-hmm. Than we're able to hear. So that's the basic story on that. And I just, you know, I feel the concern, and I've certainly taken a lot of emails and responded to those as best I could and ask for people to understand that those constraints do make it pretty tough sometimes. Sometimes something has to go.
I did not know that Wisconsin Public Radio booked and paid all the acts.
Yeah, not enough, really, but we did compensate them. And and so, you know, one thing that I'll comment on that a few people writing to me said is they thought that the timing of the announcement right after the May Pledge Drive seemed very odd to them. You know, why did you just raise money and then announce the cut? And I understand how people might see that as the timing, but the way that we saw the timing was that, you know, we like to let people know well in advance when we can what's going on. And since that was the end of the current season, we were trying to let people know in advance of the late September start that we would otherwise have had. And it's definitely our feeling that alternatives will arise, that there'll be concerts, free concerts. Madison's a great place for free concerts as it is, and that we'll be very eager to promote them and let people know about them. And this is another key, and we did detail all this, but I know not everybody's heard the news. We're still going to do live broadcasts. In fact, that very week that we announced it, we had about 6 live broadcasts in the last month. And while we can't do as many as we'd like, we are going to continue to do that. And that includes many people that listen to the news and classical channel of WPR know that they can hear the midday, which often has a live featured artist. And we'll do a lot of that as well. And we'll feature artists from around the state. One other thing from the comment that you read is that one thing that has certainly changed in the time I've worked in broadcasting, which is more than 30 years now, is that the means of production, if you will, are much more available. So we get a lot of really good submissions that we hope to include in our broadcasts, not just on Sunday afternoons, but elsewhere in the broadcast, because a lot of people are able to make a really great recording now, which wasn't as true 30 years ago.
So what replaces on-air live
So just classical music. Mm-hmm. During the summer, we've tended to have a variety of things, sometimes a recorded live broadcast from a symphony or something like that, and sometimes just what in the old days we called needle drop, meaning, you know, playing a record. Mm-hmm. And so we'll do a mix of those things.
I'm Joy Cardine with Mike Crane. This is the June edition of Mondays with Mike, when you can quiz Mike, when you can ask any question you'd like about Wisconsin Public Radio, or share any feedback or comments you might have about not only programming, but technical operations.
Yeah.
And other services. Jim in Osceola is with us, and I think Jim is on a telephone, yes?
Yes, I am. Good morning. Because I think the programming is so excellent, I feel like my three concerns are rather picayune, but they're three technical concerns.
Sure.
One is, and I haven't heard this lately, so maybe it was fixed. There used to be dead air between the news and resumption of programming. It was probably only 5 seconds, but it certainly seemed like 15. Mm-hmm. And I thought maybe I'd lost the station.
For radio people, 5 seconds feels like an hour. So
yeah.
I know what you mean. And I'm not exactly sure what happened there. It could be we made an adjustment of some kind that's improved that. So you said two more, though.
The second one was on pre-recorded messages. I'm sometimes wondering if the engineer hasn't listened to what they've done, because these announcements will end with .com or .org. It's like there's not an echo, but a tag on, like another tape has been added or something like that.
Oh, that's funny.
I'm wondering if announcements in different regions somehow are overlapping a little bit, and maybe that's causing that.
I'm
out of Menominee. I mean, the station's out of Menominee, so maybe that is.
We have had a couple of network signaling issues with those stations at times, so maybe it's that. And number three.
The third one is all the hours you guys put into producing a show. It always makes me uncomfortable when there's such poor telephone on the guests end that it's almost unlistenable.
Yeah.
It's usually the S and the T's are so staticky that there's been times when I couldn't continue listening.
Yeah.
But you'd think for all the listeners, for all the thousands of listeners, that the guests could get to maybe a landline or something.
Well, and we do try to get guests to go to studios when that's possible, because that's even better than a landline. But what we're finding is that even the landlines nowadays aren't what they once were.
That's for sure.
And, you know, we have probably as fancy as we can get processing equipment to try to raise the quality of the phone sound. I remember a time when just your standard landline sounded a lot better than some of the phone calls that we get. Jim, you sound pretty good. Are you on a cell phone or a landline yourself? I'm curious.
I have to apologize. I'm on a cell phone.
Well, and so what I would say is I heard you really well, but mm-hmm. I did hear a couple of artifacts of that cell phone thing, kind of a little kind of noises. You're absolutely right. We struggle with it all the time and try to have the best possible equipment to help with it.
It's funny, though. We've had guests who were on a landline, even in Milwaukee, not that far away, and that would sound terrible, and we'd get them on a cell phone and it sounded a whole lot better.
Yeah.
So it just really depends. And
just hope they don't go out of power during your show, right?
Right. And sometimes it is at 6 o'clock in the morning difficult to get them into a studio. But we do try to do that to get them into a studio in here in our state or in the state they're in. But
yeah. For instance, it may not be evident, but at least most of the time, when Kevin is with you on Tuesdays, he's not right here where I'm sitting in Madison. He's in Eau Claire. And because we've got almost every time a studio connection, unless he's had to be somewhere else, it sounds almost like he's with you, and you might not even notice.
Well, it does sound like he's with you.
Yeah. And that's because we do have the digital phone links between all of our studios.
Well, thanks, Jim, very much for all that feedback. And, Mike, those technical concerns are being monitored and evaluated, and we try to improve them all.
There's we don't usually talk about this, but there's a very complex system that we, of course, it has an acronym. We call it the BIC, the Broadcast Interconnect, and it connects public television and public radio throughout most of the state, all of the WPR and WPT stations, most of it is digital connection. And you'd think, well, so it's digital, it'll sound great. But one of the things that's really interesting is that it's not only digital in terms of the audio, which is its own challenge, but the signaling as well. So the .com thing that Jim mentioned could well be that an announcement playing from the computer in Green Bay somehow is very slightly mistimed with the announcement that's playing out of Madison, and we'll get that little echo effect. And so there have been these kind of technical summits once in a while to make sure that we can catch all of that and get it right. And so I'll encourage anybody, if they're hearing a lot of that, please do report it to Audience Services so that we can chase those things down.
Yeah, and Bill Martins reminds me that we often, and more these days than in the old days, we have guests who only have cell phones.
Yeah. They're on Skype once in a while now.
Right,
too, right?
They don't. Yeah, but they just don't have a landline anymore. Mm-hmm. So times are a changing. Sue, let's go back to the phones. Jeff in Middleton is with us. Hello, Jeff.
Hi.
Hi.
My question is, I've been watching or listening to public radio for about 30 years. Last 10 years, I've seen a huge increase in propaganda. If you ask me nowadays, there's nothing public about public radio. The majority of families and real concerns of ordinary people in the state aren't even touched on. A perfect example of this is the gay issue. All I hear from public radio, you have some priest saying how they quote scripture, or you've got homosexual activists talking about how wonderful it is. You don't talk about any of the ridiculous amounts. I mean, there's multitudes of study after study, research, everything, plus all the examples of what happens when gay marriage comes to town. And you guys don't say a word about it, not a single word.
Let me jump in just because I know that we've had many perspectives on the gay marriage issue, including the Family Research Council is the group that fought to get the constitutional ban on gay marriage on the ballot. They guests from that organization have been on many times, and just recently too, mm-hmm. with so many same-sex marriage bans being overturned around the country. So that's just one example. You may not have heard the shows, Jeff, but we have had the guests.
Kathleen, not a word about what happens when gay marriage comes to town. You don't want anybody to know. They use the GSAs in schools to sneak gay propaganda in.
Well, Jeff, and my name is Joy, by the way. So let's talk a little bit, Mike, about someone who thinks we're just being one-sided on an issue.
Yeah, and certainly, I don't think we want to dig too deeply into any one topic other than the topic of WPR in this. So it's fine to generalize that way. And Jeff, I'd certainly encourage you to call in when we have shows that are relevant to the gay marriage issue, and to keep encouraging us to do more as you see fit. I do thank you for that feedback. Just in general, I'd say that the effort that we have is to have a combination of guests who are experts and guests who are the ones that are experiencing real life in Wisconsin and elsewhere, and trying to get perspectives of all kinds there. And I think that I would say over the years, we've had lots of issues where there's been a societal shift and that has caused people to have stronger feelings. You know, I think of how divided our state has been over politics generally, and one of the things that reflecting upon that period from when Act 10 was announced to today, that one thing that's been good is that WPR has been a place where people could have a civil conversation about it. And I hope that's true on the gay marriage issue. I hope it's true on you name it, name the controversial issue, that this is a place where we can have a civil conversation about it. And there were certainly times during the whole Act 10 thing where this was one of the only places we had people saying, I can't talk to my brother about this. I can't talk to my mom, but I can listen and hear people try to figure it out on the radio with Wisconsin Public Radio.
Thank you very much, Jeff. You can always email your suggestion for an angle that hasn't been done anytime, talk@WPR.org. And or if you have questions or feedback about Wisconsin Public Radio, you have a link to our audience services center on WPR.org as well. So thank you very much. Buzz emails, during the Joy Cardine show, you always preview Central Time, and that's going on later in the afternoon, but you no longer tease Kathleen Dunn's program that comes on even sooner. Any reason for that? Well, I know what the reason is, but Mike, do you?
We'll see if I give you the answer you think I would give. One of the things that we're really trying to do, because Central Time is a new program, is to make sure that people really know that it's there. And it's having a big impact. The audience statistics that we're getting from the Nielsen Company suggest that the show is helping us to build audience. And, you know, building audience is a real key, because that's an indicator of providing service. And, you know, in fact, we have now it's an old saying within public radio, but we still use it, significant programming for a significant audience. And so that's the basic idea. And so how about you, Joy? What's your sense?
I think that was part of it. We have a brand new show that we want to let people know about, but also there does seem to be crossover with Morning Drive and Afternoon Drive. And that's, you know, Central Time is what we call Afternoon Drive, and this show is Morning Drive. And so people often, if they're driving to work at this time, they might be driving home from work later this afternoon, and I'm letting them know what they're going to be able to hear at that time. So I think that's a little bit of it. And Kathleen's program used to be on at 9 in the morning, and I would say that, at least during this hour, I'd say coming up next, and now that she's not on right after at 9 o'clock, I'm promoting On Point to let people know what's coming up there. And I think that Kathleen is getting promotion during Larry Mueller's show and earlier in the morning to let people know that Kathleen Dunn is what she has going on.
Well, and we also do cycle around periodically. We try to promote different things, and we're in a phase right now where we're focused on Central Time, but Kathleen's show is great, and we certainly will do a lot of promotion for it as well.
Well, since we're talking about Central Time a little bit, we did have a listener log comment. Some of these Central Time topics should be expanded to a whole hour. I'm not too keen on all the diversity we hear in the afternoon. Perhaps I'll get used to it. We hear this from time to time, Mike. Again, a quick recap as to why some of the segments are shorter on Central Time.
Sure. So the basic insight of Central Time was that there are way more topics that are worth talking about on the radio than deserve an hour. Now, I think the listener's comment is really right, which is sometimes you end up discovering that little talk segment you had for 15 minutes really does deserve an hour. And so we'll certainly circle back and maybe have it on Kathleen's show or on your show or some other time, because that does happen. But what we wanted to be able to do with Central Time is include a lot more topics that might not hold up for an hour, but would be a great 10 minutes or 20 minutes at a time. And so on a typical Central Time hour, you'll hear 4, 5, maybe even 6 topics, which is new for the Ideas Network, to be sure. At least new for, you know, in a long time. I think, Joy, you pointed out that in some ways it sounded like the original Clark Cardine and Company.
Yes.
That was
back
the concept
in
the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think maybe it was just an idea that was a little ahead of its time then in terms of our capability to handle all those topics. We have a lot more tools now, including all of the internet stuff that can be a part of a radio show that help us to accomplish that. And as anyone working Central Time or people around it will tell you, they work really hard to get that show going, and as does everybody, of course. But that is an extra challenge. I know when some of our colleagues that are substitute hosts step in there and they're used to doing an hour topic and they're having five or six topics, they're on their toes.
Yeah, you sure are. And and as you mentioned, at least in terms of audience size, we're seeing through various research that it's growing, and, mm-hmm. and lots of people are appreciating it.
Yeah.
So, great. I'm Joy Cardine with Mike Crane. This is our June edition of Mondays with Mike. Mike Crane usually joins us once a month, usually the first Monday of the month, and he talks with you about all things related to Wisconsin Public Radio. 1-800-642-1234 if you have a question or a comment for Mike. You can also send an email to talk@wpr.org or post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine with Mike Crane, and we are talking about what's new at Wisconsin Public Radio and welcoming your questions and comments about what you hear or don't hear on Wisconsin Public Radio. Let's talk a little bit about some upcoming programming, some special programs, like Sean Johnson, our Wisconsin Public Radio state government reporter, is going to be doing a series on Governor Walker's 2010 campaign promises. What do you know about that, Mike?
Actually, you know what? My notes are not right in front of me, so I'm going to let you do that, and I'll be right with you.
That's okay. I know that Sean was planning on putting together these special reports on the campaign promises. They will run on June 18th through
19th
the
20th.
Yes, that's
I found
right.
my note.
Okay, go ahead. So it's 18th through the 20th.
Right, and it'll be on Morning Edition and on Central Time. So whichever network you're listening to, you have a chance to hear that. You know, we're getting to the point where the campaign is going to be a big deal. You know, we've certainly seen some interesting narrowing in the polls that's been in the news between the governor and Mary Burke, and we're going to hear news in just a little while about whether there's a Democratic primary. And more generally, because as I'm thinking about all this, it's about time for us to do our periodic relaunch of WisconsinVote.org. And that is our website with Wisconsin Public Television that has all of the stuff about candidates and how to vote, and you know, if there's a final ruling on the voter ID thing, we'll have it there on Wisconsin Vote. And it will have also all of the content, you know, the news stories, whether they're web stories or radio or television, we'll have that all compiled in Wisconsin Vote and have that leading up to the big election in November.
Yeah, in conjunction with that and with it being an election year, we are working on having a special regular segment where we focus on election-related issues and campaign talk and the issues that are big in the 2014 elections every Thursday from 7 until 8. That's mm-hmm. Something new that we will be doing here on the Joy Cardine Show.
Well, and you know, we'll have our candidate forums as well. Yeah. And from everything we're hearing, there are going to be a lot of new candidates. Now, sometimes they'll have been in a different office and you may know their name or their background, but there'll also be new ones for Assembly and Senate. And we trust that you'll tune in and use WPR to help you make good decisions at the polls.
Yeah. Let me ask you about this listener log comment, Mike. We just heard, in fact, this promotional announcement on just before we started this show. Mike Crane is a really good guy, this listener says, but if he wants to honor our vets, don't say they were lost. Saying they were missing in action or something else. Lost doesn't accurately convey the service they provided. Please consider a different phrase.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think I know who that is, and I got a phone call from him as well, and I thank him for that. We look back, and that's not what it says on the announcement. It doesn't say lost. It says listed on the wall. Maybe that – I'm not
– listed rather than lost.
Right.
You may have misheard it.
Maybe. Or it's possible that in a more general conversation, someone maybe even me, said Lost. But the controversy is that Lost doesn't depict the way that we care for our veterans that were killed in action or missing in action or otherwise killed related to, in this case, the Vietnam conflict. And so we do try. You know, veterans are very important to Wisconsin Public Broadcasting. Many listening will remember just the remarkable event of LZ Lambeau, in which we welcomed home Vietnam veterans. We, meaning Wisconsin, welcomed them to Lambeau Field, which arguably is Wisconsin's home for a lot of people. And that has that work has touched our hearts, as has an ongoing series of first-person accounts that Mick Dirks and our colleagues at Public Television have been doing for many years, and they've moved through all of our wars and conflicts to try to document what's going on with our veterans as they go on with life after their conflicts. And so this Face for Every Name thing that the announcement was about is just one of those efforts. And the idea is to find a photograph and recollections for every person who is listed on the Vietnam Wall, so that will be available in a museum that's going to be built adjacent to the Vietnam Wall.
Let's take a call from Frank in Unalaska next. Hello, Frank.
Hi, Joy. Hi, Mike. I'm glad you took this call, because my question on a general level is, how does Wisconsin Public Radio determine corporate funding decisions, whether they'll take money on a political or ethical type donation? Specifically, there's a regular spot for American Transmission Company that wants to build a high power line through our beautiful state. Very controversial. And yet, I'm an all-day listener. I don't hear shows on Wisconsin Public Radio on either Kathleen or Joy shows about this. So how do you make that decision, and how come we haven't heard about this? Because it is happening right now, public hearings this week.
Well, you will hear about it, and we've talked about this type of issue. We just haven't done this specific one yet, but you will hear about it.
That's a topic we certainly won't shy away from. You know, there's several things. One is that what we talk about is an editorial firewall, meaning that we really want to make sure that our producers, show hosts, and news reporters understand that their job is to report the news, and that's going to be wherever they find it. And so we don't have discussions where we're trying to identify a corporate funder who will specifically fund programs, and therefore, and I see, Frank, the implication of what you're saying, the idea is that somehow the support of ATC would influence our coverage. But we really are very, very mindful of that firewall. And so that's sort of the starting point. And then after that, you know, we certainly look at the sum total of a business as we understand it. And ATC is involved in a whole bunch of different things. Some of them are controversial in some corners, and so we understand that. But I think that in order for us to put together a public radio that works, we need support from individuals, from corporations, from the state, from the federal government, all being put together to make the budget happen. And so the next part is that we have a longstanding policy as far as what kinds of underwriting, we call it, that will accept the corporate support. And we don't accept, for instance, underwriting from organizations that have a single issue that's all that they're advocating for. We stay away from that. One of the complexities of doing this is that we work in a sort of a complex organism. There's National Public Radio, there's Public Radio International, American Public Media, sometimes Independence. All of them have slightly different, related but slightly different policies, and so you'll see some differences in how those sorts of things are interpreted.
Thanks very much, Frank, for the call. There's a few other special programming events coming up. One is coming up, it's in July, actually, but it's before the next Mondays with Mike. Mike, the Prairie Home Companion 40th anniversary show?
Yeah, you know, it makes me realize just how long I've been in broadcasting, because I remember some of the earliest broadcasts. And so they're calling it 40 Years, 40 Songs. It's a 3-hour special. that'll be on from 5 to 8 on July 5th. And we look forward to celebrating with Garrison, who's been just, you know, one of the key people that describes public radio.
Now, how many more years is he going to be with us? He announced a retirement, but it was going to be in a while.
you point out something I thought about but didn't mention. It's not 40 continuous years of a Prairie Home Companion. Yeah. Garrison has retired a couple of times over the years or resigned or whatever. Most recently, about 2 years ago, he said he thought he was going to let things go. And then he decided he didn't want to. I'm actually mindful of something that Michael Feldman said to me once, because we were talking about, I think it was probably his 25th anniversary a few years ago that we talked about this. And he said, well, I don't know what else I'd do. And I think probably Garrison feels the same way. You know, it kind of is a wonderful thing to be able to stand up in front of a crowd each Saturday night and to feel all of that love. In fact, on the trip that I went to New York City, the WPR friend and fundraising trip back in April, we went to see a Prairie Home Companion at Town Hall. And I don't know how Garrison couldn't feel good. He, you know, the crowd was in love with him, and he really wanted to be outside because it was one of those really nice first part of April days. And so after the show, he was mobbed by people wanting to get his autograph and so on. So I don't think it's a wonder that we don't really know the answer to when he's retiring.
He might change his mind. You know, might I add just a personal note here? My husband retired on Friday officially, and it was a big milestone in our lives for sure. He was the local co-anchor of our Madison affiliate, CBS affiliate. Rob Starbuck might be listening right now for the first time in a long time. So, but the reason I bring this up is some people have commented on my Facebook page or asked, are you retiring too? And
all of us thought that, what's going to happen?
No, I am not retiring. I am, maybe I should have today with this voice, but no, I just wanted to let people know that I have said to my boss, Mike Crane and others, that I will be here as long as listeners want me to be here. And I won't retire until I'm Rob's age, but I'm not saying exactly when that is. So it just reminded me when you mentioned Garrison.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we just have a minute or so to go. I'm wondering, Mike, if there's anything else coming up or anything that we missed that you did want to share with listeners before we do run out of time.
Well, I always feel like we've missed something, but the Capitol Steps 4th of July special ought to be a lot of fun. That's July 4th here on the Ideas Network at 7 p.m. And those are those wonderful satirists who come up with ridiculously funny songs about the politics of the day. And they're always writing new songs, so I don't even necessarily know what would be on. If I had listened to their website shows recently, I might not even know what will be on that show. And also Big River Radio Waves is going to have a special with storytelling, comedy, and music recorded at the Big River Theater in Alma, Wisconsin. July 4th is the broadcast on the Ideas Network at 8 p.m. So mark your calendars for those, and let us keep you company through the holiday weekend.
Yes, and we will hopefully hear from Mike again on the first Monday in July or around then for another edition of Mondays with Mike.
Always a pleasure to be here, Trey.
All right, thanks very much. Mike Crane, the director of Wisconsin Public Radio. You don't have to wait for an edition of Mondays with Mike to share your questions or feedback or comments about Wisconsin Public Radio. We certainly welcome your comments any day of the year. You can send them to talk@wpr.org. You can find other email addresses on wpr.org. You can call listener services 1-800-747-7444, or you can always send us something via regular mail, 821 University Avenue, Madison, Wisconsin, 53706. Thanks to Bill Martins and to Christy Taylor for producing this program. Thank you for listening. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.